Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
The Lord Jesus Christ commands the New Testament church to go into all the world and make disciples. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Great Commission in the book of Matthew says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There is a huge distinction between a mere believer in Christ and one who becomes a disciple of our Lord. Remember that Jesus Christ loves you, but he does not want his children to ignore nor despise his commandments. Enjoy this wonderful series of messages entitled "The Cost of Being a Disciple," and learn what the distinction is between a mere believer and a follower of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us here on Freedom 95 every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., and join us this morning at 10 a.m. at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, Hamilton Hall Conference Room, exit 210 off of I-69, or find us on Facebook, YouTube, or our website under Crown of Life Baptist Church. email me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula, G-D-Z-U-L-A. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. This is part 8.
Disciple needs to renew his or her mind. There's a renewing process. We got to think differently, especially you and I who have, some of you who have been saved later in life. Your thinking, my thinking had to change from the way the world processes things, the way I used to process things, to the way now I need to process according to the Word of God. Renew your mind. Think differently than the way the world thinks. And so there's this constant cry in the scriptures to renew our mind and our thought processes and clean out the mind. You know, get out the old files in the computer, throw them out and put new files in there, new data. That's what we need to do. We need to put new data into our mind, a clean thought process. So there's this constant cry for renewing of the Spirit. Now, Roman numeral 6 in your notes. A disciple's conjugal relationship with Christ. Dr. Dixon touched on this just a hair last Sunday. Conjugal means marital, relating to marriage or the relationship of a married couple, a conjugal bond. And I'm just learning that word myself within the last year. Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke. What's a yoke? What is a yoke? A yoke, if you have oxen or horses plowing your fields, you got to think back to that period of time. They didn't have John Deere tractors and combines and tillers. And they would put a yoke on the oxen or the horse to pull the plow, to pull the sleds, to pull the sewing machines. So he's saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And I will give you rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Following the Lord is not that difficult. Living for the Lord is not that difficult. There may be some things that we may not have the pleasures of, but by not having those pleasures, we don't fall into sin. And our reward will be immensely greater than those who live in sin. And last week, remember Dr. Dixon pointed out, he used to teach there was only two types of people, and many preachers had taught that. There's the saved and the lost. But he has come to believe and accept and has seen many other preachers accept this, that there is the lost, there's the saved who are faithful, and the saved who are carnal. Did you catch that last week when he talked about that? The saved who are carnal and the saved who are faithful, who walk spiritually. So taking on the yoke, following the Lord, getting his rest. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, a well-known passage of Scripture, but poorly misinterpreted by many. So finally, brethren, verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs." Now, is he warning us about dogs? About your Bow Wow, your little dog, your big dog, is he warning us about the canine in your family? No. He's warning you about dogs in the sense of human beings. Those who act like dogs. What does the Bible say? A dog returns to its vomit, right? A dog returns to its vomit means, one, a believer who goes back into the world and into their lifestyle. Old lifestyle. Beware of evil workers. Chapter 3, verse 2. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. What was the concision? It was those Jews who said you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. You had to also be circumcised. You know what that's called? That's called putting new wine in old bottles. Putting in a new covenant into the old covenant. No, circumcision was not a part of the new covenant. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So he says, my pedigree was the top of the line of that day and age. I had a lot. I was part of the royal family, in a sense, of the Jewish people. I was royalty in the eyes of the unbelieving Jews. But verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Counting the cost, count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He's setting everything aside to have an excellent knowledge of Christ. Okay, it's not just being saved, it's the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What does he mean there, that I may win Christ? Is he saying he's not saved? No. He's saying to win Christ means to win the prize, to be with Christ, be a partaker with Christ in his coming kingdom. To win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, the key sense here for this whole part of this lesson here, the conjugal part of the relationship with Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, the power of his resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is a different resurrection. The Bible talks there's two resurrections. First resurrection and the second resurrection. in the book of Revelation. That I may attain unto, that I might attain. Attain means reach that glorious resurrection of the dead. He's speaking about a specific resurrection. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing, dealing with the walk. That I might know him. Conjugal relationship. A conjugal relationship. Ephesians chapter 5. We've dealt with Ephesians 5. Just quickly, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus here is talking about the great mystery of the church. In verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a conjugal relationship with Christ. Here is a key point to the conjugal relationship. Okay, what Paul is saying, he's saying he wants to desire more of Christ than just having a cursory overview of the scriptures and who Christ is. But he wants to know him. Adam knew his wife. There's the word knew. Knew. K-N-E-W. Knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. What is coming and what are we looking forward to that is coming some great day? The marriage, the kingdom, the marriage supper of the Lamb, a marriage. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Adam knew his wife again. When you courted your wife, or your and you were in a courting relationship, you knew each other. But once you got married, then you really knew each other, didn't you? You have become closer to one another in your marriage relationship. You know, you can easily tell how the other person is feeling in your relationship, right? My wife can tell if I'm bent out of shape over something. She can tell when I am sick. I don't have to say it, she can tell it. She can see it in an expression, your mannerisms. There's a relational, this is what Paul is saying. In Deuteronomy, we see about what a relationship Moses had with God. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There's that word knew. In 1 Samuel, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her, and Hannah conceived. But knew, it's speaking of a conjugal relationship there in the book of Philippians. But not all disciples have that kind of relationship with the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean all the church of Satan out here and all the Hindus over here on this side, they're not going to call Jesus Lord at the judgment. Lord, Lord, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth, that's following, that's the following aspect. It's faith plus follow. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day. And that day is talking about the judgment day coming, the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Think of all the Christian institutions out there. And we think, oh, they're doing wonderful works all across the world. But God looketh upon the heart. He's looking at the heart. And in that day, and in thy name done many wonderful works, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. New there is speaking of that conjugal relationship that Paul forsook everything in his life, counted it as dung, as the dung, as scat. That's the word I was just thinking about. Scat. Pam likes to use that word. Scat. Bear scat. He counted all things but dung. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Lord wants us to have, desire to have that conjugal relationship with him. If we want to rule and reign and be faithful disciples when he returns. Roman numeral 7. A disciple needs to be prepared to face persecution. John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. I mean, how many Christians have been killed by the Roman Catholic Church? They thought they were doing God's service in the name of God because you didn't baptize your infants or you didn't take the wafer in the Eucharist. You didn't go to the Catholic Church because you didn't attend, they killed you. Because you read a Bible and you found what they considered contraband, they outlawed the Bible and the Bible was contraband, and they killed Christians thinking they were doing God's service. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Look at Dr. Dixon, my friends. That man, when he gave the leadership to his son, he should have been in demand and in Bible colleges teaching young preacher boys of pastoring churches. The wealth of knowledge he has for the years of service, and yet the Bible colleges have been mum. Nobody invites him to come. Nobody comes. Nobody invites. Like he said, few pulpits let him speak on what he was speaking on last week. He's not invited into many pulpits across this country. We are no different today than when Jesus came the first time and the Pharisees and the religious leaders who were hypocrites then were dealing with the hypocrites today. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company. Pastor Dixon, I mean, he should be in universities and colleges teaching men how to plant churches. And the Bible colleges are mum. They're quiet. They don't invite him. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see that contrast? You see that contrast? There's a contrast. The world is going to hate you because you love Christ.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30. And Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.